Good morning, everybody. Thank you, Pastor Potter, again for allowing me to come and speak. If you take with me in your Bibles and turn to John chapter 4, verse 24 this morning, John 4, 24, you won't have to do hardly any turning around, but since John 4, 24 is our theme verse for this morning, I'd like everybody to turn there. As you turn there, just tell you a little bit about myself. My brother and I were from Shelby Township, Michigan, which is about a half hour north of Detroit. We grew up there most of our lives, attended Bible Baptist Church, where Pastor David Loggins is a pastor. It's about 50, 60 people, so it's a pretty small church we grew up in. I was at the age of three. I was about 4 years old when I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. I can remember still in my mind, my mom was out doing school with my older siblings. There were seven of us all together. I was too little at the time. I didn't have to do school yet, so I was playing in the sunroom, the other room, just playing with some toys, and something my mom said caught my attention. She said, "Daniel's a sinner," and I came out of there crying, and she asked me, "Are you a sinner?" I don't remember this, but at first I laughed, and then I know my siblings were praying for me, and then my mom asked me again, and I said I was, and she said, "If you're serious about this, then I want you to tell Dad when you come home." So that night I told Dad, and I was able to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. So I praise the Lord. I don't have much I remember before I was saved, but that isn't always a bad thing either. So just praise the Lord for His saving grace and that He can allow us to walk in that new man, put on that new man, like Brother Tom was talking about this morning in Sunday school, putting on that new man, a constant thing. So John 4:24, if you're there, I'm actually going to go ahead and pray, and then we'll dive right in. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for this day, and thank You for this time that we're able to be here this morning and to look into Your Word and to see what You have to say about music. Lord, I ask that my opinions or anything wouldn't get in the way, but that we'd be able to see what Your Word has to say and the principles we can glean from Your Word. Lord, I ask that You'd give me the words to say, that I'd only say those things that You'd want me to say and nothing else. I pray that we'd have open hearts to receive Your truth, that we'd not only be hearers of the Word, but that we'd be doers of Your Word also. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So the topic is music. Is music a matter of taste, or is it a matter of biblical analysis? Should music just be left up to our preference as believers, or do we need to look into the Bible regarding music? Now, music is created to glorify God. And in John 4:24, our theme verse, Jesus comes to, he's in Samaria, and he comes to the woman there at the well, and he's talking to her, and he says in verse 23, just as a bit of a backdrop, he says, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth." So what we see from this passage is there are two ways that we ought to worship God. It is in spirit and in truth. Spirit, with the right heart attitude toward God, that we have the right heart attitude, and truth, that we do it God's way. Now what we want to look at this morning is see, can we put music under the guidelines of John 4:24? Is there a right way, is there a right kind of music to worship God with? Is there a wrong kind? If any music goes and music is just a matter of preference, then it really doesn't matter what kind of music we use to God. But if there is a good, if there isn't evil music, if music is powerful and carries a message, then music will fall under this thing of worshiping God in spirit and truth, so with the right kind of music. So God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit with the right heart attitude, and in this sense, what we're doing today, in truth, with the right kind of music, godly music. And some questions that come to mind that we've been asking. Should our musical selections be shaped by our preferences or God's Word? Does the Bible have any bearing at all on music? The Bible contains hundreds of references to music, so there is certainly something there for us as believers to dig into, to look into God's Word. And does God care about the music that we listen to or play? I mean, shouldn't it just be good enough that we have the right heart attitude, and if we're sincere in what we do, and if we love the Lord in what we do, shouldn't that be all what matters? does God really care what else we do as long as we have the right heart attitude? Well, this says spirit and truth in John 4:24. And Scripture has three examples we are going to look at of what happened when these people, they had the right heart intentions, but they did not follow God's way. And the results of that were not good. And the first example we see is in 2 Samuel 6. In 2 Samuel 6, David with the Ark of the Covenant. The Philistines had had the Ark of the Covenant, and now Israel was getting it back, and they were carrying it back. And it says in 2 Samuel 6, verse 3, that they set the Ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah, and Uzzah in Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. Now, they were bringing it back to Jerusalem, to Israel, and they were excited. David was excited to bring it back. But God had laid down orders in the Old Testament of how the ark was to be carried. And notice that it says they set the ark of God upon a new cart. The cart idea was more from the Philistines. So here Israel was. They had the great heart intentions. They wanted to bring the ark back to Israel, but they were putting it on a heathen means of transportation, what the Philistines had done, and not listening to what God said, here's how we carry the ark. I mean, they put it on a new cart, so they didn't just put on any old cart. They put it on a new cart, but this still wasn't what God had commanded. See, they had the right heart, perhaps, but they didn't do it God's way. And as a result, in the end, Uzzah dies. Because in 2 Samuel 6:7, they were coming over the Nacon threshing floor, the oxen stumble, the ark's tipping over, kind of, so Uzzah, just trying to save the ark from falling, puts his hand out to save it. God struck him dead. We say, wow, that was a harsh punishment. But had Israel followed the Lord's commands and carried it how the Lord had commanded them to, and not put it on this new cart, they wouldn't have had this problem. See, they had perhaps had the right heart attitude, but God's way wasn't followed, and consequences followed. In Genesis 4, we see Cain's sacrifice. Cain brought the fruit of the ground as an offering to the Lord. Abel brought up the firstlings of his flock. Cain might have been wanting, oh, I'm going to give my best to the Lord. I'm going to give the fruit of the ground, what I personally put my hands to, my works, I want to give that to the Lord. He may have had the right heart, but he didn't do it God's way. You see, God had, when Adam and Eve sinned, God shed the blood of an innocent lamb as a picture that would cover the sin, as a picture of what Jesus Christ would do. But here Cain, sincere as he was, he came bringing his own works, which oftentimes people do today, sadly. People try to bring their best to God. If I can give my best works to God, he'll let me into heaven, right? But that's not how it goes, because you can have the sincerest of heart, but if you don't do it God's way, then it's not acceptable. And as a result, Cain's sacrifice was rejected. The Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Two examples, spirit and truth, right heart attitude followed, but not God's way. Next we see Exodus 32, Israel and the golden calf. We'll look at this more in detail in the coming lessons, but basically, Moses is on top of Mount Sinai getting God's commands, and down below, the people have said to Aaron, we don't know what happened to Moses, why don't you make us a calf, make us a god? So they put together all their gold, put it in, out popped the golden calf, as Aaron would later explain Moses. That's not what happened, but they were going to say, let's worship the Lord, if we can say that, but Aaron said, here's a feast unto the Lord tomorrow. So we're going to worship Jehovah, but we're just going to go through the golden calf. It's a false worship. They were trying to stick God into the golden calf, if we can say that. Maybe we can give them the benefit of the doubt that they had the right heart attitude. I think they were more going about doing what they had been, what was in Egypt. They had just come out of Egypt, but they had a lot of Egypt inside of them still. And they try to put God in this golden calf and make a feast to him, but they did not do it God's way. They had false worship, and God wants spirit and truth. they didn't do it God's way. And as a result, 3,000 men die. Exodus 32:28 said, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men, because Moses had to come down and declare who is on the Lord's side. And all the tribe of Levi come to him and say that we're on the Lord's side. But because they didn't follow God's way, 3,000 men died. We see that Uzzah died. Cain's sacrifice rejected. This happens. Why? They had the right heart attitude, perhaps, but they didn't do it God's way. So if we just do it God's way, if we just have the right heart attitude, will God really care what music we use? Well, God does care. God does have a way. We have to do it in God's way. And then when we talk about music, music is such a hot topic, such a touchy issue for each one of us personally, because it's so much a part of us, and it has so much attachment to us. And so as we look into this, I wanted to make it clear that we want to look at music, but in a spirit of love, to show you what the Bible has to say and let you look at what Scripture has to say and make your decision from there. But Ephesians 4:15 talks about growing up in Christ by speaking the truth in love. You see, we can get all about maybe saying this and that, saying truth and truth and truth, but if we don't have a spirit of love, then, well, that's not the way. But we can, at the other end, think all about love like they are in Christianity in the loosest sense today, talk all about love and no truth. Well, in reality, that's not really love, because if we love people, we're going to show them truth. So we have a balance, and Scripture shows that balance of speaking the truth in love. But we have a need, and Ephesians 5, 8-13 talks about this. It says, for you are sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. We as believers were one time in darkness, but now we're light in the Lord. We ought to walk as children of light. There should be a difference in our walk. See, worldliness ought to be reproved by us as believers. We can't redeem worldliness. We shouldn't be out taking, let's in this example, this worldly music, as we'll see, and trying to redeem it. No, that needs reproved. You can go in any area of life. It's worldly. We don't redeem it. We reprove it. We were in darkness, but now we're children of light. We're proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Also in Luke 16:8, we read of an example where Jesus was talking, and he said, and the Lord, in a parable, he said, and the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of the world are in this generation wiser than the children of light. And what a sad predicament it is in our day and age, when we as believers are not as wise as the children of the world. You see, sometimes the world tells us things that we'll say, you don't know what you're talking about. Nah, and it's something like in music, the world will say, they believe in the morality of music and all this, and they'll say it, and Christians say, nah, music's not moral, it's just about the words. But what we have to do in any area it is, we have to take our heads out of the sands and recognize this fact that sometimes the world knows things that we as Christians refuse to accept, and we ought to allow the Bible to be our guide and rule of faith in our life. In 2 Peter 1:20 and 21, it says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So nothing in the Bible can we take and make a private interpretation out of it. We ought to allow God's Word say what God's Word says, what God wants it to say. And this also means that the Bible have one interpretation, not many. We don't come to it and grab all these different interpretations out of it. No, the Bible has one interpretation, and it has something to say on music that we can glean principles and live our life by. See, the Bible, God says that His Word contains all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That's the great news, that God doesn't leave us alone on any issue today, that we can always come back to God's Word and let it be our rule of faith for everything in our life, and that's the great news. So as we look at music, we are asking, well, does God even care about music? Well, a good place to start then is God musical? In Zephaniah 3:17, we read that the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. The Lord God sings. He is musical. Zephaniah 3:17 declares this. But also, we have another passage in Zechariah 9:14. It says, and the Lord shall be seen over them, and his arrow shall go forth as the lightning. And the Lord God shall blow the trumpet, and shall go with whirlwinds of the south. Here we have another example. The Lord now, he plays the trumpet. And it says, blow the trumpet. But if God's going to blow on the trumpet, I don't think any bad noise will come out of it. I play the trumpet a lot of, actually all of my siblings in my family play the trumpet, and my dad, and I can get some really bad noises out of that trumpet. And it cannot sound pleasing to the ear, but God is perfect. He's Almighty God, and when he blows that trumpet, it's going to be a nice sound. But here in Zechariah, he plays the trumpet. He sings, he plays the trumpet. Thessalonians 4:16-17 says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Here we have the trump of God. God is musical. God in himself is not only musical, but he also has a musical creation. In Job 38:7 it says, and when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. What's really interesting is that NASA has discovered with special technology that the stars actually sing and bring forth music. Pastor Yates, he does a 3-year course through the Bible through his church. And what he explained that could have happened during the pre-flood time is that with the water canopy around the earth, it would have been set up in such a way that a normal person on earth would be able to hear music from the stars through the water canopy and through the special way God had it set up. So God's creation brings forth music. It says in Psalms 104:12 also that by them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. And you wonder how we are musical as man today. God is musical and he created us in his image. Therefore, we are going to be musical too. But God also created somebody else that was musical. And this is big when it comes to the area of music, because he created a musical being who is Lucifer, whom we know as the devil right now. In Ezekiel 28:13-15, it says about the devil, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee. The devil has musical instruments inside of him. In the day that thou wast created, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou wast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. See, God created Lucifer. Lucifer was perfect. All God's creation was perfect. And Lucifer's music was used to glorify God. He had tabrets in him. He had pipes, like flutes, that type of thing. The devil had built-in musical instruments, and these things glorify God. But the devil fell. And Isaiah 14:11-15 talks about this. It says, thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of the vials. The worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, that thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. The devil, in his 5 pride-filled I wills, wanted to be like God, wanted to take the glory that was rightfully God. And God casts him from heaven and brings him down. But just because the devil has been cast down doesn't mean that he's going around, I don't want glory anymore. He still wants the glory all to come to himself. He wants to take from what is rightfully the Lord's and bring the glory to Him. And what's more, He has built-in musical instruments. We ought not to forget that. And He was corrupted, and when the devil was corrupted, so were His musical instruments, like everything else in Him that was. And now, the devil wants to take this music that He's corrupted to glorify Himself. See, there is music that glorifies God, but as we see here, there's also music that glorifies the devil. And so we see that music is either good or it's evil. It will glorify God or it will glorify the devil. And when we talk about music today, today and this evening, we're talking really about the music itself, not technically the words, because we would all agree that words ought to be God-honoring in our music, and that should seem pretty simple to lay lines for what words are acceptable to God and what's God-honoring. But in music, music is a language, but music is a powerful language, and often we don't see these clear lines of good and evil. And so we see, though, that music is either good or evil. And then Scripture affirms that music cannot be amoral. And by amoral, we mean that it is neither good nor evil, nor has any power over you. So we'll look through a few points. Is music moral, immoral, or amoral? We'll have a few Scripture references to that. We'll look at how that music has an effect physically, emotionally, and spiritually from Micah and Samuel, and how that music defines context, and how that music alone communicates. So moral, immoral, or amoral? Lines, letters, and notes. See, in the music discussion, people will say, well, let me play this middle C. Now, was that moral? Was that good? Or was that evil? The problem was, that was just a note. See, we could take just a letter, and with a simple E, we could spell the word love. With a simple E, we could spell the word hate. We have two exactly different messages, but it's what we did with that letter. See, that letter was neutral. The letter was neutral, but when it was put together into a word, it communicated a message. You see, the middle C on the piano, it's a neutral middle C. There's not like a wrong note on the piano, but when it's put together, it will communicate a musical message. The same thing with lines. We draw lines. I'm a terrible artist. I can't draw anything if my life depended on it. But some of you probably are really good, but you draw lines. What do you make out of that? You make a picture. You can make a beautiful God-honoring picture. You can make a very profane picture. The line itself was fine, but the picture communicates a message. And so the argument that, well, did I play an evil C or a good C? It's not a valid argument, because that is getting away from what is the real issue, that the music communicates in itself. And we see this in the arts, the words and music, as we just talked about. You see, it's either moral or it's immoral. There is no neutral ground, since these arts are communicating something. You can look at a beautiful mountain scene, and it can reflect the glory of God or the creativity of God in creation. But also we see in Scripture, Proverbs 15:3 said, the eyes of the Lord are where? In every place. There's not a place where God doesn't see. Beholding what? The evil and the good. The evil and the good the Lord sees in every place. In Ecclesiastes 12:14, we read, for God shall bring how much? Every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Music is something that comes forth, man, that we create. It's like a work of ours. And God says He's going to bring every work into judgment. He doesn't say that whether it be good, neutral, or evil. It's whether it be good or whether it be evil. And next we see that music has an effect. In 1 Samuel 16, read of the account of David, Saul being troubled with an evil spirit. And it says here, but the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Saul was disobedient, and the spirit of the Lord departed from him. And an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servants said unto him, behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. The servants of Saul recognized the power in music. They said, play with the harp, just play music, and you will be well. We go on. And it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul that David took in heart and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Music had a physical impact, an emotional impact, a spiritual impact. If it just had an emotional impact and that was it, why do we see Saul was refreshed, was well, the evil spirit departed? If that was just an emotional, that'd be repeating three things. But as we're going to see, it was actually physical, emotional, and spiritual, an evil spirit influencing Paul. And he was under the oppression of one because of his disobedience. As a child of God, we can't be controlled by an evil spirit because we have Jesus Christ reigning inside, but we can open ourselves up to an attack of the enemy if we're outside of God's protective umbrella in our life, or if we're outside of God's will. And so, in here we see, first off, that music had a physical impact. Saul was refreshed. Refreshed in the Hebrew means to breathe freely. This outline is from an evangelist, Ben Everson, and he basically says this. So, these three points aren't necessarily my outline. I gleaned it from his, as a lot of the stuff is gleaned from a lot of people, and I'll make mention of that. But right here it says music had a physical impact. So what do we mean by physical impact? If you heard a march playing and you hear the march going down, what's the first thing you want to do? It's march. I'll just go start marching along with the music. And what's that doing? Oh, I'm having a physical impact. Well, this music on Saul had a physical impact. David with the harp, I don't think Paul was marching around, but it said that Paul was refreshed, and so we see that music has a physical impact, and that's easily seen in a march that we start marching around. But it not only had a physical impact, it has an emotional impact. It says Saul was well. He was well. In the Hebrew, this means better, cheer, good, goodly, pleased, that he's well. And we could take music and you could listen to a very scary music example, like somebody's about ready to pop out at you. And it gets you all scared. Well, the music made you that way, didn't it? Yeah, it was communicating a message to you. And you could go now and switch right to a march and start marching along with that. What's the point of that? We could do that in 20 seconds. I don't have any music samples, but you could do that in 20 seconds, and we could just shift your emotions from one place to the next place, from being scared to getting like up and starting to want to march. Music has an emotional impact, but music also has a spiritual impact. And the evil spirit departed from him. It was an evil spirit. In another account, and I believe it was the Kings, when King Ahab, the Lord is basically saying, who's going to go and put a deceive King Ahab into going out into battle because he needs to go out there and die? And an evil spirit was there and said, I will go do it. And he goes in the form of the lying prophets, and they tell Ahab to go out. But basically, the evil spirit there was actually a demon. It wasn't an emotion. It was an evil spirit. And this is the same word used here. This was an evil spirit oppressing Paul. There is a spiritual impact in music. You see, if there's music that drives demons away, let's flip the coin and ask the question, could there not be music that brings in evil spirits? We're just considering the other side of the coin. You see, the Lord was brought on Elijah through the playing of music. In 2 Kings 3:14 and 15, it says, Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely, were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee or see thee. But now bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass, when the minstrel played, that the hand of the Lord came upon him. So music has a spiritual impact, but music also defines context. In Acts 16:16 through 18, we read, and it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of her. The message this person was saying wasn't necessarily bad, but you can think of how was she saying it. Was she mocking saying it? Was she sincerely declaring it? There were demons. She was possessed by evil spirits, and that they were saying it, and Paul didn't want that coming through. But how did the demon-possessed damsel say what she said? You see, how you say something determines what you say. I could say, I love Jesus. I could say it that way, or say, I love Jesus. Different messages, right? The second one, not so good. And so, does God's word trump and remain unchanged to any kind of music we set it to? See, people say, well, it's all about the lyrics. You can put it to any kind of music. God's word is still penetrating, and God's word is penetrating, but does the message change? I just said, I love Jesus. I could go Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I said it one way. I could say it, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The message was different time I say it. I could say it in a totally different way. It's kind of nerve-wracking giving a different message off of Scripture because I almost feel like I'm being disrespectful. But do you see what I'm saying, that how you say something determines what you say? And it's the same with music. What music you use will determine what you say. You see, you could have this this scripture passage set to a very classical-oriented sound of music. It'd be fine. You could put it to rock music, and you get a different message. Because the music itself is communicating, and we're going to look in that later in this message. But next we see that music alone communicates. In 1 Corinthians 14:7 and 8, Paul says, and even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is pipe or harp? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? Music alone communicates. You could be in another room, and there could be something on the TV. And by the music alone, and while you're in the other room, you could determine what's happening, what scene is happening. And maybe it's a funeral, and the music is all sad. Maybe, like I said, it was somebody's about ready to pop out, and you can feel the tension in the music. But what was communicating that? There were no words. It was just the music itself. Music indeed does have power. Music, as we saw, God's musical, the devil's musical. Music is good or evil, and music has power. It made Saul, it refreshed him physically, emotionally, spiritually. It can alone communicate. You see, it notified Moses and Joshua of something amiss in the camp of Israel. When they're coming down from the mount, Joshua says, I hear the sound of a war in the camp. He says, there's something going on in the camp that's just not right. It wasn't the way we left it, Moses. There's something different in the music. You see, music alone communicates without the words. So we saw those 4 points, but we also look at, what does the secular world say about music's morality? Remember Luke 16:8, that the children of this generation are wiser than the children of light? Well, in Titus 1:12 and 13, because you say, well, why are we looking at the secular world to guide what they say about music to see what if music is moral? We saw from Scripture, but in Titus 1:12, 13, it says, one of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies, this witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. Here God had Paul quote a Cretan prophet. He was a seasoned man. He quoted it in Scripture to further a point. See, God, the Word of God inspired, and he had the Apostle Paul quote him to further his point to the believers and to make a point. And it's the same way in music, that if the world says something is sensual, then we as believers ought to take note of that, that they say it's sensual, and we can't just say, go putting our heads in the sand and say, nah, it doesn't matter, music doesn't communicate a message or not. And so we see that it is all right to look at what the secular musicians have to say and take what they say about music and apply it today. So when the secular world says something about music, we need to take note. So what do they say? Neil Postman in Amusing Ourselves to Death, as quoted by Frank Garlock and Kurt Wurzel in Music in the Balance, he says, to maintain that technology, which includes music and entertainment, is neutral is stupidity, plain and simple. He's pretty blunt about it, that music, technology, contains a message, and it's a moral message. Look at what Plato has to say. He says, in order to take the spiritual temperature of an individual or a society, one must mark the music. Way back, even before Christ, and this man, who was not a Christian at all, but he says, you want to see what the spiritual temperature of a society is? Mark the music. And we could go through different cultures of the world. We don't have time to, but you could look at the culture, and by the music that was definitive of that culture, you say, you can mark the spiritual temperature of that society. You can go in the USA, hey, listen to the music of the out there in the USA and say, we can mark the spiritual temperature of that society today. You see, Africa was a dark continent because they did not have Christ. There was evident in the music. But we're just saying here that music has a message, it's moral. The medical, psychiatric, and other evidence for the non-neutrality of music is so overwhelming that it frankly amazes me that anyone should seriously say otherwise, Dr. Max Schoen, as also quoted in Music in the Balance from Frank Garlock. Also, N.M. Weinberger, a sound researcher in the medical field for 20 years, he has had this to say. He said, music has strong effects on behavior and can do so by communicating moods and emotions. Therefore, music can rapidly and powerfully set moods and do so in a way not as easily attained by other means. I can take music, he said, and play it and change somebody's emotions just like that. This is sound research. He's not a Christian either. So here we have the secular world saying music is moral. Here we have God's word saying music is moral. There's either good or there's evil music. Then why do Christians today say that music is not moral? That music is amoral. That music doesn't matter. We ought to let God's word govern our lives. This is a very basic thing which is foundational as we go into music seminar and look into what music is right, what music is acceptable unto the Lord, and that we see that music does contain a message, that music can be used for good or evil. And therefore, as believers, we have to look through it through biblical lenses and let God's principle guide our lives. So in summary, we saw that there is good and evil music. Glorifies God or glorifies the devil. We saw that music is not neutral. It has moral. It is moral and it has power, as we saw in the example of Saul. We saw that music impacts physically, emotionally, and spiritually. We talked about the different types of music you could march to or how you could swing your emotions one way or that. We saw that music defines context. How you say something determines what you say. We saw that music alone communicates. I can tell something's happening by just the music. This is what Moses and Joshua could do. So we see all of this, and we go back to the question at the outset of the message. We were determining, can we set music under the guideline of John 4:24, and says, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, with the right heart attitude in God's way. Well, we saw that music moral. We saw that's either good or evil. So if we're going to worship God in music, we have to worship God God's way. So that this puts something in us. We ask the question, okay, what's godly music? What's not godly music? That's for another message, but we just see here that it deserves biblical analysis. It falls under the criteria of John 4:24. And we have to worship God with the right heart attitude and with godly music. You see, it's not just about the right heart attitude or doing it, we love Jesus, it doesn't matter what I do, but I just love him. You see, David got in trouble doing that. Cain got in trouble doing that. Israel got in trouble doing that. God wants worship in spirit and truth. He wants a personal relationship with us. He wants a love relationship with us. And that's why Jesus Christ came to this earth to die on the cross, to pay for man's sin, that we could not only be saved from hell, that we could not only have a home in heaven, but that we could be restored to that love relationship that we had before the fall. In John 15:13, I believe, Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." I heard a pastor say it this way, "If you don't love me, then don't bother with the commandments." Because if we keep God's commandments and don't have that love relationship, then we'll be all about, "I have to do, do, do." And we won't have that love relationship with God, and we'll, in effect, mar Christ's name. But God wants us to have a love relationship with Him first. And as we love the Lord, the only natural thing that will come out is to do what God wants us to. It's that we will keep God's commandments, but it's a matter of putting the ox in front of the cart instead of having the cart in front of the ox. We love the Lord, so we do what He wants us to do. And God says, have the right heart attitude. And when you have the right heart attitude, it won't be as much of a problem. And so any music will not do. God desires to be worshipped in truth, God's way, not our way. John 4:24 says, "God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth." It's not a suggestion. It's a command that Jesus said, if you're going to worship God, it must be done in spirit and in truth. And as you think about it, just in conclusion, ask yourself the question, am I worshiping God in spirit and in truth? Do I have the right heart attitude? You see, more in our circles, we know that certain music is wrong, and that's great that we know that and we know that. But what I find myself it's hard to do is, God said worship with the right heart attitude. I have a problem enough with that sometimes. Sometimes I don't have a good attitude, I have a bad attitude, I've just messed up before I came to church. I'm sitting in the pew, about ready to play my trumpet for orchestra, and I feel like, Daniel, you're such a hypocrite sitting here. But that's something I've got to get right with the Lord. And see, so we've got to have a right heart attitude, and we have to do it God's way. They're both equally as important to God. And so that's the message, and I pray that it's been a blessing. Pastor Potter, would you like to come at this time?